Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Brethren and Sisters, Sunnyside, Corinbong, New South Wales, Australia, August 1st, 1897. Portions of this letter are published in CTR 166-168. Dear Brethren and Sisters, I have had, and still have, a desire for help to come to us in Australia in the building up of a sanitarium. I have cherished the hope that Blank might help us with his means, but there cannot be much done with a one-power concern in Australia. We need men who can devise and plan and who have means to invest, but those will not give unless they feel it their duty to do so. We would do well to consider the case of Elisha when he was chosen for his work. Elisha was of a family who had kept the ancient true faith of Israel. He did not live in the thickly populated cities. His father was a tiller of the soil, a farmer. Even during the captivity, there were souls who had not degenerated and gone into apostasy, and this family was included in the 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah was about to close his earthly labors. Another was to be chosen to carry forward the work to be done for that time. In his course of travel, Elijah was directed northward. How changed the scene before him, now, to that which the country had presented! Then the farming districts were unworked, the ground was parched, for neither dew nor rain had fallen for 3 years. Now everything seems to be springing up, as if to redeem the time of famine and dearth. The plenteous rains had done more for the earth than for the hearts of humanity. It was better prepared for labor than were the hearts of apostate Israel. Wherever Elijah looked, the land he saw was owned by one man, a man who had not bowed the knee to Baal, whose heart had remained undivided in the service of God. The owner of the land was Shaphat. Busy activity was seen among the husbandry. While the flocks were enjoying the green pastures, the busy hands of his servants were sowing the seed for a harvest. The attention of Elijah was attracted to Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who, with the servants, was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was educator, director, and worker. Far from city and court dissipation, Elisha had received his education. He had been trained in habits of simplicity, of obedience to his parents and to God. Thus in quietude and contentment, he was prepared to do the humble work of cultivating the soil. But though of a meek and quiet spirit, Elisha had no changeable character. Integrity and fidelity and the love and fear of God were his. He had the characteristics of a ruler, but with it all was the meekness of one who would serve. His mind had been exercised to be faithful in the little things, to be faithful in whatever he should do, so that if God should call him to act more directly for him, he would be prepared to hear his voice. This was the lesson he had learned, to be obedient. It is only those who render perfect and thorough obedience to God that he will choose. If any man is in connection and association with men who do not obey God, who evidence that they are not in vital connection with him, that man has a special work to do for God. He must separate from these men, whatever his position and experience, even if he has to walk, as did Enoch, with God alone. The Lord God is a host, and all who are in his service will realize his words to Zerubbabel, saying, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Zechariah 4, verse 6. Elisha waited contentedly, doing his work with fidelity. Thus day by day he obtained, through practical obedience, strength of purpose and rectitude through the divine grace in which he trusted. His surroundings at home were those of wealth, but he realized that in order to obtain an all-round education, he must be a constant worker in any line of work that needed to be done. He would not consent to be in any respect less informed than his father's servants. He would learn how to serve first, that he might know how to lead and instruct and command. While doing all that he possibly could with his God-entrusted capabilities in cooperating with his father in the home firm, he was doing God's service. He was making manifest that he was obtaining a more perfect knowledge, how to cooperate with God. The youth should bear in mind that their physical strength, their mental qualification, soul, body, and spirit are to be devoted to service. They are never to be misapplied, never misused, and never left to rust from inaction. Let the teachers in our schools educate the students in this line. Elisha daily increased in knowledge. Daily he prepared to do service in any line that opened before him. He served God in the little temporal duties. He grew in knowledge and in grace. And if the student will practice reliability and soundness of principle in the things which are least, he will reveal that he has acquired adaptability to serve God in a higher capacity. He who feels that it is of no great consequence to serve in the lesser capacity will never be trusted of God to serve in the more honored position. He may present himself as fully competent to accomplish the duties of the higher position, but God looks deeper than the surface. A watcher is on his track, and after test and trial, there is written against him, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." Daniel 5, verse 27. That decision in the courts of heaven decides for eternity the destiny of the human agent. The active service of God is in complete harmony with the ordinary duties of life, even in such humble occupations as felling trees, clearing ground, or following the oxen or horse at the plow. We are to serve God just where He puts us. Mere book education is a very one-sided affair. Service in the home life may be the very place we are to occupy for a time, if not always. Then preparedness for that work is to be obtained, that you may do your best in service for the Lord. God is to place us individually, and not we ourselves. And if any one of us is listless and indifferent, or negligent and careless in the small, everyday duties, we shall never be fitted for service for God. The Lord is testing and proving us to see what sort of timbers or attributes we are bringing into the character building. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. He that is unfaithful in that which is least will certainly repeat this unfaithfulness if placed in higher positions of truth and given larger responsibilities. The performing of temporal business in a slack, shiftless manner will lead to the doing of business in higher grades in the same way. The service of God will be done in a haphazard manner. When there is order and exactitude in the little things we have to do in ordinary life, what wonder, then, if the exactitude is brought into the religious life? The importance of little things is underrated just because they are small. But the influence of the little things for good or for evil is great with the learner. The little things supply the actual discipline of life for each human agent. They are part of the training of the soul in sanctification of all our entrusted talents to God. Practice of the little things in the lines of duty makes the worker in God's service to reflect more and more the likeness of Christ. Our Savior is a Savior to the perfection of the whole man. He is not a God of part of the being only. The grace of Christ works to the disciplining of the whole human fabric. He made all. He has redeemed all. The mind, the strength, the body, as well as the soul, is a partaker of the divine nature, and all is His purchased possession. He must be served with the whole mind, heart, soul, and strength. The entire life must be glorified. Then the Lord will be glorified in His saints, in even the common temporal things with which they are connected. Holiness unto the Lord will be the inscription upon them. Exodus 28, verse 36 to 38. When Elijah saw Elisha in the field with the servants, plowing with his 12 yoke of oxen, he came to the field of labor, and while passing by, he unfastened his mantle and threw it upon the shoulders of Elisha. During the 3 years and a half of barrenness and famine, the family of Shaphat became familiar with the work and mission of Elijah the prophet. The Spirit of God impressed the heart of Elisha in regard to the meaning of this action. This was his signal that God had called him to be the successor of Elijah. It was similar to the commission of Christ to the young ruler to leave all, houses, lands, friends, riches, comforts, and ease, and come and follow me. Matthew 19, verse 21. Elijah passed on as if that were the end of the matter. But he knew that Elisha had understood the significance of the action, and he left him, without speaking a word, to decide whether he would accept the call or reject it. Elisha hastened after the prophet, and overtaking him, asked permission to take leave of his parents, and bid farewell to his family. The answer of Elijah was, "Go back, for what have I done unto thee?" 1 Kings 19, verse 20. This was not a repulse, but a test, a trial. If his heart clung to his home and its advantages, he was at liberty to remain there. But Elisha was prepared to hear the call of God. He had not been disorderly, running before the call had come, and when he was called, he revealed that he would not hesitate, nor relent, nor draw back. How many have had and will have such tests and proving? To everyone the Lord has given his work. There is to be earnest, faithful waiting for the message from God, calling to his service in prospect of the solemn event. There is to be no idle waiting with nothing to do. They must prepare others for that great event. There is waiting and watching to be done, combined with a harmonious Christian character. This will make the Christian an all-round man, a perfect man in Christ Jesus, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. In genuine faith there is a buoyancy, a steadfast principle, which neither time nor toil can weaken. The youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. With the call of Christ comes the question, are we ready to advance? Are we willing? Shall we not, like Moses, cheerfully deem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt? Had Elisha asked Elijah what was expected of him? What would be his work? He would have been answered, God knows. He will make it known to you. If you wait upon the Lord, he will answer your every question. You may come with me if you have evidence that God has called you. If not, forbear. Come not simply because I called you. Know for yourself that God stands back of me, and that it is his voice you hear. If you can count everything but dross that you may win the favor of God, come. Let all bear in mind that the Lord will not accept half-hearted service. Those who love to do the will of God can do perfect service. Let not the heart that hears the gracious invitation of mercy, come, for all things are now ready. Luke 14, verse 17. Still feel to question as to the outcome of the matter, saying, how much shall I have to yield up? You have no arguments on this point. If we follow on to know the Lord, willingly, gladly, we shall know that his going forth is prepared as the morning. Hosea 6, verse 3. If we have decided to obey Christ, we shall respond to his call. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. Elisha immediately left all to commence his ministry. His leave-taking was not with mourning and bitter regrets. They made a feast in his home in commemoration of the honor conferred upon one of the family. And what was the first work of Elisha? It was to take up the little things and do them with heartiness. He is spoken of as pouring water on the hands of Elijah, his master. He was the prophet's personal attendant. Any work, however small it may appear, that is done for the master with a thorough surrender of self is as acceptable to him as the highest service. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24. Humble, willing service is before every one who claims to be a child of God. After Elisha had been some time in the service of Elijah, he was to be called to take his place in the first rank. No one in that time was to be greater than he. He had worked under Elijah as a learner, and the time came when the head manager was removed, and the one under him came to the front. And as in Elijah, there was a preparedness to be translated, so Elisha was prepared to take his place as the successor of the prophet. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah saith unto Elisha, Tarry here, pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me into Jericho. And Elisha, he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets which were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from my head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. 2 Kings 2, verse 1-8. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I shall be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall so be unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah which fell from him, and smote the water, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the earth before him. 2 Kings 2, verse 9-15. This lesson is for us to study carefully. We are in no case to swerve from our allegiance. No duties that God presents before us will cause us to work at cross purposes with Him. The Word of God is to be our counselor. The Word of finite man is fallible. Human, manufactured laws that are supposed to take the place of the law of God are not to be respected. At every place that Elisha tarried with Elijah, he was given an opportunity to separate from him. Tarry here, I pray thee, said Elijah, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Verse 2. Thus Elisha's faith was tried at every point. But by plowing in the field, Elisha had learned the lesson of not allowing failure or discouragement to be entertained. He had now set his hand to the plow in another line of work, and he would not fail nor be discouraged. Every time the invitation to turn back was given, he declared, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Verse 2. Unknown to Elijah, the revelation that he was to be translated had been made known to his disciples in the schools of the prophets, and in particular to Elisha. He therefore kept close beside Elijah. There was a school of the prophets at Gilgal, and also at Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan, and the sons of the prophets came out to meet Elijah and Elisha. They asked Elisha, Knowest thou not that thy Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Verse 3. Again Elijah said, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said to him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. Again were the words repeated, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Verses 4 to 6. Elijah wished to visit these important places, the schools of the prophets, before he was parted from them. The last place at which he stopped was the Jordan, and here they were followed by 50 sons of the prophets, who wished to view the honor and exaltation of Elijah. Elijah was a type of the saints who will be translated to heaven without seeing death. As they came to the Jordan, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and the waters parted, and they too went over. Elijah favored Elisha by asking him, Ask what I will do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Verses 9-10. They still went on, and as they talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Verses 11 to 15. And from henceforth Elisha stood in the place of Elijah. He was called to the position of highest honor, because he had been faithful over a few things. The question rose in Elisha's mind, Am I qualified for any such position? But he would not allow his mind to question. The greatest qualification for any man in a position of trust is to obey implicitly the word of the Lord. Elisha might exercise his reasoning, argumentative ability on every other subject but the one that would admit of no reasoning. He was to obey the word of the Lord at all times and in all places. The men who follow the Lord are to be firm and straightforward in following the directions that he gives. Any deviation in following the devising or planning of men who reveal that they have not a connection with God disqualifies those who thus deviate for being depended on as trustworthy men. Elisha put his hand to the plow and would not look back. Thus he evidenced his determination and firm reliance upon God. Henceforth, the nations are to be in a very uncertain state. Kings and rulers will be involved in greater perplexities than they ever thought possible. And this because they are disobedient to the word of the Lord and work entirely contrary to his principles. The question now comes home to all who have their Bibles. Are we prepared to follow the word of God? He that will come after me, said Christ, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8, verse 34. You cannot depend upon priests, rulers, human lawmakers, for as in Christ's day, they teach for doctrine the commandments of men. They know not the scriptures nor the power of God. Man-made theories are placed above a plane, thus saith the Lord. But the searching of the soul has come. Are we obedient to the law of God? Will every soul look up in faith and answer to God, as did Elisha? As the Lord liveth, I will not leave thee? 2 Kings 2, verse 2. Whatever may come, persecution, reproach, falsehood, or anything that shall arise, we will not leave the source of our strength. We be proved and tried as in a furnace. Those who endure to the end will be saved. If our religious faith is spurious, it is of no manner of value. The spirit of Elijah was cheered, as by the direction of God, he was permitted to see the schools of the prophets and the work that was going on in these institutions. An education that was to keep the wonderful works of God continually before them, to magnify the law and make it honorable. While idolatry was prevailing to an alarming extent, the heart of Elijah could see the word of the Lord verified. I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. The education was of that order that would preserve the souls of all who would be obedient to the law of God. And why should not we, in these last days, act in accordance with our faith? There must be not only education in books, instruction of far greater importance must be given. We must teach how to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. We wish to arouse Seventh-day Adventists. Do not drop from the mind the fact that we are a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. Our education must be deep and thorough in the understanding of the Scriptures. The school standard must be kept high and pure and elevated that students may prepare to meet their God. Our work now is to tell men plainly what they must do to be saved. All who feel their need of Christ may go to Him just as they are, tell Him of their necessities, ask for the broken heart, the contrite soul, and the words of God will be fulfilled. A new heart will I give thee. Ezekiel 36, verse 26.